Good morning and welcome to Neocony View, that high spot on the Oregon coast where, in this case, we are peering down and across the table from John Carnahan at Dillon McBay Community College, the president of the college. Thanks for being with us this morning. You came to the college, how many years?
Well, it's been 4 years.
I'm probably
the longest interim running president in the history of Oregon's community colleges.
Yeah, when you came, you were an interim
Well, actually, I didn't even come as interim. Actually, I came about just exactly four years ago. It was in July 4 years ago to actually help the community college board do a search for a new college president.
This sounds vaguely Dick Cheney-ish.
Well, I've heard that before. Yeah. You're not the first one to kind of tossed that, actually. Dr. Ralph Orr, who was the president, had just resigned to take a job in Arizona. And the board asked if I'd come over and do a search. And as it turned out, Ralph was gone, and the search was going to take about 6 months. And they said, well, while you're doing the search, would you please be the interim president? And so I agreed to do that while we did the search. And I guess the history is that the search failed, and I, at the request of the board, decided to stay for a while. And as a result of that, I've been here for 4 years, and it's been actually a wonderful way to actually finish a career that I had started over 30 years ago at another community college and retired once and was just doing presidential searches and came back.
Well, you must have come in thinking, well, these are the criteria that I'll be looking for a community college president. And what were you looking for that you ultimately filled?
Well, that's really a good question, and I think that's a really great place for us to start because, you know, typically when I do a community college presidential search, I go to the community, I go to the staff, and I talk to the board and determine kind of what qualifications and qualities they're looking in a new leader. And I try to have an arm's length from kind of that discussion and find out from them what their interest is and then try to match it up, both the candidates with the college and the community and the board. In this case, by the time we had actually started interviewing, I had been here 6 months, and it kind of through the process of working here every day, identified some really critical things that I thought we really needed to have for Dillon McBay Community College in a new leader. And as a result of working with the board and talking about those things, we really didn't find anyone that kind of fit the criteria that could do all three of those things. It pretty much simultaneously at the same time. And those three things were the college needed to grow. I mean, we are still the smallest community college in Oregon. We are by far the smallest community college in Oregon 4 years ago. Our enrollments increased almost 50% in the last 4 years. But we were very small as a result of a decision that the legislature made, actually, to not fund community education courses. As you know, community colleges are comprehensive colleges, and they offer a variety of programs and services: lower division, college transfer, career technical education, basic skills, adult learning, community and continuing education. And they try to kind of meet the needs of the local community. Well, because of the demographics of this community over the years, over the first 20 or 25 years, they kind of morphed into a continuing and community education college. Over 50% of their enrollment was in community education courses because of the adult population and the interest of the local community. Unfortunately, the legislature made a decision to not fund or support community education courses about 5 or 6 years ago. As it turned out, about 50% of the enrollment at Dillon McBay Community College was in that area. So it immediately, with one decision by the state legislature, lost 50% of its funding, half of its enrollment. And it doesn't mean that it didn't also affect other community colleges. I was just finishing my career of 30 years at Lynn Benton at that time, and probably about 12 or 13% of our enrollment was in community education courses. So by reducing the funding for that, we funded some of it. We only lost about 5 or 6% of our enrollment as a result. When you lose 50% of your enrollment, you can understand that you have a real problem. So as a result of that decision, when I came here, the community college was very small and it really needed to grow. And it needed to grow in a comprehensive way, not just by offering one type of instruction or another, but both career technical, lower division transfer, continuing community education as well. So we needed someone that could really help the college grow. Second thing that I had identified when after spending some time here was that the facilities, and it didn't take long to figure that out, really weren't college-level facilities. We were in a piece of property, a facility that the college bought a number of years ago that was a mortuary, essentially, that was converted into a community college.
No metaphors there.
No metaphors. Although I think the staff thinks some of the ghosts have followed us. But in any case, the facilities just weren't conducive to us being this comprehensive community college that they needed to be in order to grow. And it meant that we needed to have science facilities and technology facilities and computer application facilities and labs and classrooms and conference rooms and a learning resource center and all the things that make up a comprehensive community college. And so it was important from my perspective that we needed to have another building, and the board had that in their long-range plan as well. So none of this stuff was new to the board. I mean, they had looked at kind of where they wanted to go with a vision for the future, but I'm not sure that they I think they did understand the criticalness of the timing, but it was really important that this all happened. So we needed to go out and pass a bond measure, and as a result of the board's work with Dr. Orr, they had secured a match from the state, needed to have a local bond measure passed by the community and to have the resources to build a new campus. And then the third thing that was essential is for the college to be independently accredited. For the last 28 years, Tillamook Bay Community College has been accredited by the Portland Community College. Essentially, we're like a branch campus of theirs. I mean, we have a contract with them. Courses are on their transcripts. The degrees come from Portland Community College, and we are essentially accredited through Portland Community College, which is not a bad thing, but it certainly takes away the flexibility that we have to make local decisions in a timely manner. And so it was important from my perspective that we become independently accredited. So when we were looking for a new president, you know, I had my eye on someone that could understood enrollment management, it could really grow the institution, understood comprehensive community colleges and curriculum and programs and services in order to develop new enrollments, someone that understood the financing of capital construction and passing of local bond measures and then could actually do the design, implementation, construction, and building of a new campus. And thirdly, someone that understood and has gone through a new college's independent accreditation with the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities. And we just didn't find someone that had that kind of experience. I mean, we had a lot of good applicants, but not someone that had spent their whole life actually doing those things. So as a result, we didn't hire anyone. I offered to the board that we could go out and do another search. I do another search for them, and they said, well, why don't you just stay and do this? So that's kind of the end of the story, or the beginning of the story.
Really beginning, because each one of those three areas gets us off into all sorts of interesting places. Starting with that legislative decision, I suppose that comes to whatever the state or collectively the people or even here in our community think a community college should be.
Well, I think it really was, first of all, the decision the legislature made was a financial decision. It was at a time when the economy was much like it is today. We were in a recession. They were fighting to fund higher ed, community colleges, K-12, and all state services, and they were looking for ways to cut budgets. And so, in their wisdom, which I think was incorrect, and I testified to that fact and have told them since the day that they did that they made a mistake, but in fact, they make decisions, and they made a decision not to fund community education courses because they thought it was really critical that they put all their resources into this lower division, college transfer, career technical job training, workforce training kind of work. But unfortunately, we had about 400,000 Oregonians enrolled in Oregon's community colleges, all 17 colleges at that time. And about 100,000 of those 400,000 were taking community education courses. Well, those were all the older adult seniors who believed in lifelong learning and continuing education and supported their local community college by taking a community education course.
So 25% at the state level, but you said 50% here.
Yeah, well, 25% of the head count. Mm. And so when you look at community colleges and you look at the head count, the full-time versus part-time is a difficult kind of formula. But so we had 400,000 individuals taking courses 100,000 of those individuals taking community education courses, when you add up all the full-time students, it wasn't really a quarter of, it was probably 15% of the total enrollments. But in any case, they made a decision to do that, and I think the unintended consequences was that it's that demographic and that group of citizens in the state that vote, that support local community colleges, that no longer had access to the local community college. So colleges found it really difficult to pass bond measures, to get any local support, because community colleges essentially quit doing most of what they were doing for that set of population in Oregon. So as a result of that decision, it really affected Tillamook Bay more than anybody else. And I think Tillamook Bay did need to do a better job of growing in a comprehensive way. And I think that's what the legislature really was saying. They agreed with the fact that we need to continue to do lower division transfer stuff and community education career and technical education. But it really did impact this college, and we needed to grow in a different way.
Our guest this morning is John Carnahan, the president of Tillamook Bay Community College. I want to get to the building, the second prong, but let's jump ahead to the third, and that's accreditation. How does that work? What hoops do you have to jump through to receive the kind of accreditation you're looking for?
Well, it's a complex process, actually, and the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities is the accrediting agency. It's a regional accrediting agency. It accredits all 2-year and 4-year colleges and universities in the Northwest. So it's the same accrediting body that accredits the universities, Oregon State, University of Oregon, the regional colleges in Western, the private colleges in Linfield and Reed and Lewis and Clark, and all the community colleges. And it is a commission that is responsible for granting full accreditation. And without full accreditation, the courses and the credits and the transcripts and the degrees really are meaningless to students. So you don't want to graduate from an unaccredited college or university. And there are those out there that just simply aren't accredited. So it's a process that takes a minimum of 5 years. It starts with a self-study where you could do an introspective look at your institution against a number of standards that the Northwest Commission create or has for accreditation. There are a variety of standards that relate to curriculum and instruction and resources, both learning resources and library and computer resources, facilities, long-range planning, finance, student assessment, student outcomes, success rates, measurements, a variety of quite rigorous standards that every college needs to meet. And so the process starts with taking a look at what the standards for accreditation are and doing a really comprehensive assessment of where you as your institution are today as it relates to those standards. And you submit that study. It took us a year to write that self-study and involved the community and the staff and everybody associated with the college. Dr. Lori Gates, our Dean of Instructional Services, is accreditation liaison officer and chaired the steering committee and done a wonderful job in putting that report together. And following the submission of that report, you have a visit of 5 or 6 independent accreditors that are not from the state of Oregon, so they don't want any association of mine or any of our staff with any of these. So we had 6 people fly in from other states in the region, Nevada and Montana and Idaho and Washington, and actually come and spend a week with us here in Tillamook and meet with everybody involved with the college and actually measure how we did in our assessment. So they want to validate that we had a fair look at where we were at that point in time. And as a result of that visit, they respond with recommendations and commendations and say, you know, it looks like you were on target here, looks like you missed this target a little bit here, here's our recommendations. And you simply then, that begins the process. And as a result of that first self-study and that first accreditation visit, we went back to the commission as a total, myself and Dr. Gates and our board chair, Steve Shaw, met with the commission, and they, at the conclusion of about a year and a half, gave us candidacy. That's all, it doesn't give us anything other than now we were accepted as a candidate for accreditation. the next 4 years, then you continue to refine and go through that process. So we took what we received from the recommendations. We reviewed the results. We implemented some new strategies and plans to meet their standards. They came back again this last year after reviewing our second report, did the same thing. These are five other people from out of state, not the same people, looking at what our original report said, what our second report said, how have we done in the process. They make recommendations and they make accommodations, and this time we had, actually it was, this visit was, I mean, none of these are easy on the staff. I mean, it was one of those things when I retired the first time after 30 years, one of the things I said was, I'm never going to have to go through accreditation again. Wrong. But this last one was really quite good. We had 6 commendations and only 4 recommendations. I think it's the first time that I've seen a accreditation report that had actually more commendations than recommendations. And so we're now continuing to go through those 4 recommendations, and we'll refine those and go through it one more time. We have a visit in the fall of 2011. That's our next visit. And hopefully by 2013, we'll be fully accredited.
What a process goes through. Describe the average student. Let's talk about the continuing ed, but the student here who is intending to pursue either an academic or a professional or a technical career. Do you have a profile?
Well, yeah. I mean, a community college profile of students is pretty broad, actually, because we are this comprehensive college that doesn't just enroll recent high school graduates who go to college. I mean, our average age is probably 35. The majority of our students are not full-time students. They're taking 1 or 2 classes. Obviously, when you're facing a unemployment rate at the rate that you have in the state now, given the economic conditions, we're seeing older students that are coming back for training and retraining and earning new skills to be prepared for the new jobs when employment picks up. But because of the ruralness of Tillamook and the fact that we have 3 local high schools and really don't have any other option for those students that graduate that don't have the capacity or the ability to leave the community financially, we do see more and more local high school graduates coming to Tillamook Bay Community College, which is a really good thing. I mean, the when you looked at the number of students that graduated from the high schools in Tillamook County and went directly to college, it was well under the state average. And so because of the new facility and because of the new programs and career and technical education, we're seeing more and more recent high school graduates coming directly to Tillamook Bay. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a number of adults that are in the workforce that are going to school on a part-time basis.
When I was going to school, it was all about the classroom and the library, but these days, distant learning and the electronic implications, how does that affect the college?
Well, it does. Obviously, there are a variety of ways to learn and a variety of opportunities and access points to education, and one of them is through distant learning. We're not so isolated that we have to depend on a lot of distant education, although we offer courses to those people that are homebound, that can't leave their home, that want to take them over the internet. And we offer courses through Tillamook Bay that the other community colleges also offer through distant learning. But it's not a large share of our enrollment. Most of our enrollment are people that are residents that are coming to the campus, and we'll eventually move to the North and South County as we begin to create centers in North and South County, which is part of our building strategy.
I'm curious, though, to see to hear as an educator how you feel about that as a learning technique.
You know, I have to be honest with you. Early in, actually, late in my career, as distant education and different methods of delivering instruction became really prevalent through a variety of sources, I really had my questions about you know. I mean, I was kind of the traditional, you know, person in a classroom sitting in a seat, and I think we've come a long ways. I know hundreds of people that have received degrees through distant education and through quality programs and instruction. And I think over the years we've increased the way in which we deliver and the interaction between not just the student and the instructor, but the student and the other students that are doing the same thing, that, that provides for kind of that group discussion and that group learning that takes place in a live classroom where the instructor's in front of the room and the students are sitting out there interacting with each other as well as the instructor. And I think given the newer technology in the last 5 or 6 or 10 years, that's changed a lot. And so I have to say that I'm converted. I understand there's a variety of ways to deliver it. I mean, I'm still a visual learner. I need to see it. I mean, that's my style. That's not everyone's style. But I think there is something to say about a local campus and the environment of a local campus. I mean, that's one of the disadvantages of a community college versus a resident four-year college university. I mean, students, you know, there's a lot to be said about students that leave home and live in a dorm or live in an apartment or go into the military and are responsible for their day-to-day life's activities that you don't typically get in a local community college, because they live in an apartment. But it is what it is. Community colleges are a blessing for this country, actually. I mean, we are the first line of defense when it comes to job training, and will lead, I think, the recovery based on workforce training with the economy the way it is.
We're talking with the president of Tillamook Bay Community College, John Carnahan, and we are talking to John from the new facilities here. We were talking earlier about one of the three criteria in selecting a president. One of those was the creation of a building, and you just mentioned, of course, the need for facilities. I think you're probably, are you happy with it all, the way it all turned out?
Yeah, we're actually really excited, and I think the community is excited as well. I mean, It I think is more than, as Senator Johnson said, this is way more than I expected. And for her to say that just made me smile, because she's seen the other 17 community colleges or 16 community colleges. And you know, it was one of these things that, you know, we needed to balance the community's needs against, you know, the facility and the design elements and what a comprehensive community college includes. You know, you don't want to overdo, but you don't want to understate. You want to make sure it's going to last for a long time and meets all the needs of the students. And I think we hit a really nice balance. It's in a wonderful location out by the fairgrounds.
Very creative, by the way, the whole financial arrangement.
Yeah,
the fairgrounds.
Yeah, it was. And that was actually one of the issues when I came. They had just failed a couple elections and weren't really sure where they could pass an election, and so I just started visiting with the community, and one of the things was the location. I mean, people is in defense of the college and the times in which the budget or the bond measure failed was that it is very difficult to agree on a location, and then go out and pass a bond measure and get any kind of negotiated sale on a piece of property when you've already promised
you told them you're going to pay for the land.
Exactly, right? Pretty much in advance. And that's why there's a statute that allows property negotiations to happen in executive sessions and to protect the local community. I mean, it's their resources. And so it's one of those things that is always an issue. But it just turned out for us that the fair board had gone out for an election to put new grandstands and bleachers because of the shape that they were in, and they decided not to go back out. And so I went to the fair board and the county and said, you know, if we could pass a bond measure and could buy, you know, 4 or 5 acres at fair market value from the county and the fair board, and you could use that money to build the grandstands, it'd be a win-win for everybody. And it was. I mean, it was, I think, a win-win for the community, for the fair board, for the community college. And we could go out and tell the community, if we pass this bond measure, we have an arrangement with the county commissioners, the Tillamook County Fair Board, and the community college board that we're going to build, and it's going to be right here. And as a result, they got some new grandstands and bleachers, and we got some property, and we passed the bond measure, met our state match of another $4.9 million, and were able to build about a 50,000 square foot building that we're sitting in today.
What about growth? And I'm not talking just about the growth of the building or the growth of student population, but are there areas that you see the community college philosophically expanding out into that we're currently not doing?
Yeah, I think there's a couple areas. One is in the basic skill area. when you look at the demographics and you look at the number of people that live in Tillamook County that are over 25 years of age, that have less than a high school diploma, there's a large group of citizens in Tillamook County that I think can take advantage of the local community college that will help their opportunities for job skills and employment in the future. So I think in the adult basic skill area, I think that is an area where we can grow. On the other hand, I think that we need to do more in workforce training. We need to do more with the local industries. We have a consortium, an industrial maintenance technology consortium right now that we're working with Stimson Lumber and Hampton Lumber, the Creamery Association, and others to provide millwrights. I think our career technical education offerings can increase in agriculture and oceanography and some of those other areas. We've already expanded some in the health careers and culinary arts, which is an area that I think both are in demand in the local area. So I think we have room to grow, and I think we have the capacity to do it.
And I don't want to shortchange the continuing education and some of those other things that I imagine you're still struggling to do, but I see you get the inserts and the mailers about all the other courses that are being offered. There's still quite a bit being offered.
Well, there is, and I mean, it just because the legislature said they're not going to pay for it doesn't mean that the community still doesn't have an interest in doing those. And so the question is finding the balance and allowing for us to be able to afford to do that at a reasonable rate that we can be competitive and still attract local citizens that are retired wanting to take community and continuing education courses. That is still a fundamental mission of comprehensive community colleges in Oregon, and there are other ways to compensate and pay for that, but it needs to be a balance. And we just were, the scale was weighted the wrong direction in that area the first time, and so we are coming back. I mean, I said for a long time we need to continue to offer these courses, and so you do see a number of continuing community education courses, and we're going to make that work.
And they're a lot of fun too.
And they are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, as you say, it's also an area that if you want to get community buy-in, it's a point of contact.
Absolutely.
A point of contact. Well, John Conrahan, thank you very much for joining us this morning on Neocone View. It's a gorgeous building. It certainly, I'm sure, exceeds the mortuary as far as...
it does. I mean, like I said, the staff occasionally will hear a noise and say, oh, we brought one of them with us. But in fact, it's beautiful. I hope everybody that's listening will have a chance to come by and see it out next to the Tillamook County Fairgrounds.
Do you have open houses?
We've had a couple open houses and grand openings. I've taken a little bit of comments from the community. How many of these are you going to have? How many times are you going to open this building? But we are open, almost every day, and people are willing to just come in and visit.
Well, it's new, and you can have the anniversary party and the second anniversary party.
Well, as a matter of fact, I walked by the dedication of the building plaque that we had not long ago outside, and it said founded in 1981. And I walked into the office, and I said to my staff, I said, does anybody realize that next year's the 30th anniversary of Tillamook Bay Community College? And they all looked at me like, well, I knew we had a 25th about 4 or 5 years ago. I said, so next year, we're going to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Tillamook Bay.
Well, congratulations on that, and we'll be there for the party. John Conrahan, thank you very much.